And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Sherwood traded to the Sharks, and Pete Jensen wants you to get familiar with the name Konsta Hellenius. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 16, Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, and Chris Meany with you. No Pete Jensen today. He's off somewhere celebrating Josh Jones' contract extension and also Konsta Hellenius. What's going on, Jake?
I'm just a little upset I didn't get invited to the Pete Jensen, Josh Doan celebration party for the contract. So maybe the invite got lost in the mail somewhere, but the Sabres continue to roll, continue to make a believer out of me here, Nick, and we are uncovering new young Sabres by the day. So it is a lot of fun, and I hope Pete's having a good time at the party.
A very lively group chat means, I would say, to start off a Thursday for Pete Jensen. He is fired up about his New York Islanders and his Buffalo Sabres, for that matter.
And his San Jose Sharks, right? Yeah. I mean, Macklin's celebrating. He's in the heart conversation. He's leading the NHL in primary assists. But yeah, great contract for Doan. He's had a heck of a season. 15 goals and 35 points in 49 games. He's playing with the big boys up in that top line with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch. He's on that first power play. And Nick, he's hot of late as well. 5 goals, 11 points in his last 11 games. And if Pete was here, he would say, guys, he's 10th in the NHL in high-danger shots, according to Edge Stats.
I love that. And congrats to Pete Jensen. 15 years with the National Hockey League, guys. I saw that on LinkedIn. Ooh, so we love
yes,
you, Pete.
Nice.
Mailbag edition. We love these editions of NHL Fantasy on Ice. A lot of questions this week about Kiefer Sherwood. Love this because prior to the season, Jake, nobody really expected San Jose to be pushing for a playoff spot, but they're a buyer. They pick up Sherwood from Vancouver. He's played 44 games, 17 goals, 23 points in line for the Cy Young this season. What do you do with Kiefer Sherwood moving forward?
Amazing how perceptions change for some of these teams, right? Even Pittsburgh, who's been making some moves here and there. I don't know if I'd call them a buyer, but a team that might be like 1 foot in, at least. Certainly not a full seller like we thought at the start of the year. And same thing for San Jose. We thought, okay, they'd probably be out of a playoff spot, maybe sell off some of these older pieces, continue to look towards next year. And all of a sudden, Meany, we got a team that might make the postseason, that might be that even 3 seed in the Pacific Division. And they've had some really impressive road wins for me over the course of the last handful of weeks against very good teams, including earlier this week against the Florida Panthers. So I have to think that Sherwood gets a bump. I know he's a big player in leagues with hits and some of the greasier categories as well, but I think the goals, the assists could be there depending on what line combo San Jose wants to give him, right? I mean, if you could produce in Vancouver, I feel like you could produce in San Jose right now.
100%, and I feel like he's going to get an opportunity right off the bat when we see him in the lineup to play with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. Why wouldn't he? He brings some sandpaper to that line, to the team. You mentioned the hits. He's 4.77 hits per game, which is second in the NHL. He's got the 17 goals. It's a high shooting percentage, but he can rip the puck, and you know, again, he's going to have better line mates there in San Jose. So those are the two guys that you want to play with. And this San Jose team, you're right, they have 51 points. They're one back of Utah for that top wildcard spot. They have 2 games in hand. They're tied with the Kraken for third in the Pacific. So, Nick, this team is hanging around. It's a nice add, and a lot of people have asked about Sherwood. Where does he rank? Because we may not see him until after the Olympic break. We put him in the rankings just to give you a feel of where we feel like he should be for the rest of the season. He's a top 100 forward. There's no question about that if you're playing in leagues with hits.
I'm a cautious buyer, I'll be honest, just more so about deployment. Is he on the third line or is he in the top six? Is he on the first power play unit or the second unit? But I don't want to bury the lead. It's my yearly request to fantasy leagues across the map that if goalies fight, I want the penalty minutes. And San Jose's Alex Nedeljkovic scraps Sergei Bobrovsky the other day, and then I look at my team and I have Bobrovsky and no penalty minutes for me, Jake.
I love a good goalie fight. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't love a goalie fight. I mean, they're kind of silly, and no one's really landing punches. There's so much equipment. It kind of looks like two T-Rexes trying to fight each other, right? They can't even get at each other, but it's hilarious to watch. And look, Bob came flying in from the top rope, Meany. So I had a lot of fun with it. I am a little, I'm a little concerned about where Florida's at. I feel like all year I've just been saying it's fine. It's going to be fine. They got a lot of guys going to the Olympics. Now, Bobrovsky's not one of them, so he's going to get a little bit of a break here, but your concern level on Florida, there's just a lot of teams that expected to make the playoffs in the East that are not in a playoff spot anymore. Florida's one of them. There's no way all of them are just going to turn it around and make it. There's only so many spots, and I am starting to get a little worried about Florida's chances here, Means.
Yeah, 5 points back of the final wildcard spot. They do have 3 games in hand on the Bruins. I'm not a big believer in the Bruins, but there's a lot of teams that they have to jump. Philly, Washington, Toronto, right? Washington and Toronto are two teams that I expect to play pretty good hockey after the Olympic break. But yeah, that was a heck of a fight. And Nedeljkovic, what, he has an assist, he has a goal,
everything.
He has a fight on the NHL resume. Yeah, he's done it all. But it really is go time for the Florida Panthers, right? This is a team that has to get on a run. And Nick, they have a lot of players going to the Olympics as well. So you hope that they stay healthy.
Jake, that's an elite point. I hate to fade a team that's won back-to-back Stanley Cups, but I'm right there with you. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion in my world the Florida Panthers are going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'm curious to both your opinions on, like, the fantasy value of some of these guys. So we see Seth Jones not going to the Olympics, Jackson Lacombe, much to the chagrin of Habs fans, the replacement. But in general, Jake, when you look at Florida, do you look at them as a gold mine the way they were the last couple of years? Like, Matthew Tkachuk comes back. I know it's the first game, but they lose to San Jose. They look weirdly human to me right now.
I'm not so sure I'd go gold mine. I think there's going to be some stretches where they look like the old Florida Panthers again. I just don't know if the consistency is going to be there. Now, they are really going to have to ride their horses down the stretch, right? I think that's one thing that we can maybe look at. If you've got some of the top players in Florida, they're going to have to play. They're going to have to play heavy minutes, most likely. My concern for Florida would be, does that wear them down? A lot of these guys are going to go to the Olympics, not get that break in February. So from a team perspective, it would concern me. But if I'm an owner, Nick, and with some of these guys in fantasy, I don't mind it just because I think they're going to be used heavily in fantasy playoffs. Florida's going to become that desperate team. They're going to have to play that playoff style hockey.
Means, let's get to this question about a former Panthers netminder. Is it buy low time, do you think, on Anthony Stolarz, who is inching closer to a return here for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I think it may be like, I think you could sell him, honestly. I think he's a good goalie, but I think Joseph Woll's playing really good, right? Hasn't he been one of the better goalies over the past?
The problem with Woll, he can't play more than three games in a row.
Like, can't you say that about Stolarz too? That's the thing, right? So I think for both of these guys, there's a good duo. It's a great tandem to have. I mean, if you have Woll and Stolarz, you can ride that out, I think, the rest of the way and be comfortable with that situation. I think if you were a Stolarz owner and you're like, okay, this guy's back and you're fine in the net, Jake, maybe you just picked up off the waiver wire and you like where you're at, you could maybe flip him to the Woll owner and say, hey, you can have this Leafs tandem for the rest of the year and it's a good one. But yeah, both of these guys are solid when they're playing. I don't see a lot of back-to-backs. I think they'll go back and forth between the two to keep them fresh and keep them healthy. And, you know, if they do make the playoffs, whoever's hottest, I think they'll ride with. But yeah, I would maybe just sell them on name value alone, Jake.
I think so as well. You have one goalie coming back from injury in Stolarz, where you know they're going to take a little bit of time. They don't want to play him too much. And then you got one guy in Woll who is playing quite a bit and playing well. I'm a big Joe Woll guy. I think the talent is there, but they do have to be careful not to ride this guy into the ground. So I think it's nice to have both. And if they could keep both healthy, go back and forth, I think form a little bit of a nice tandem. Nick, we've got a bunch of questions in the mailbag about the New Jersey Devils. Briefly turning it around, at least in terms of wins, they pull off the Alberta double, they beat Edmonton and they beat Calgary. But at the same time, they don't really look like the full Devils, right? They just score a couple goals in each of those games. The offense isn't really clicking. A lot of questions about what to do with Timo Meier, even Jack Hughes kind of underperforming for what we expect. What are we doing with the Devils here moving forward? Even though they're winning, doesn't feel like the offense is firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, weirdly, I expect this team to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. I just wonder if they're going to start to find their game a bit. On paper, they're a really good roster. I think the big thing for me, guys, is saves. They're getting them right now with Jake Allen and Jacob Markstrom. So that's where I would start. I think it's a good time to buy low on these guys. Like, maybe I believe in New Jersey more than most people. I think it's important to stress Luke Hughes. His season could be done. And I wonder if that impacts at all. They're looking around to see what the market is for Dougie Hamilton, but I'm told that nothing's changed. They're open to trading Dougie Hamilton, even with the Luke Hughes injury. Simone Nemec is a guy I've looked at the last little while and wondered if his role gets expanded here over the next little while, but means I'm buying on New Jersey. I'll go down with this team if I have to.
You know, I think I'm with you. There's some desperation hockey in the second half. You know, the guys have been in and out of their lineup. They've missed a lot of, you know, their top players. And, you know, Jack Hughes, I think, could be had for cheap. You know, he went early in drafts, right? So the stock is not quite the same, but you could probably get him pretty low. You're still seeing a lot of shot volume from Timo Meier. Nico Hischier still doing his thing. I think I'm a little cool on Dawson Mercer. But Dougie Hamilton's starting to pick it up a little bit, Jake. Like, we talked about him as a buy-low candidate. Maybe he can move to a different environment, but if Luke Hughes is lost for the season, it's a high usage rate. He's starting to rip the puck a little bit more, and if they do decide to flip him, I think Alberga brings up a good point on Nemec. Like, he's a guy that would automatically get a boost, especially on the power play.
Well, it's amazing how many teams, I mentioned it earlier, that are below the line in the East that expected to be playoff teams: New Jersey, Florida, Toronto, Washington at the moment as well. You could include Ottawa in there as well, who's been below basically the entire season. So a couple of them are going to figure it out and make it, but not all of them are. And I'm starting to become a believer, Nick, in this Detroit Red Wings team. I think it took me way too long, but just watching them, you know, watching them again Wednesday night against the Maple Leafs, the pace, they beat the Leafs all four times this year, so they've certainly owned that matchup. But even beyond that, it's just they continue to visually pass the eye test for me. That young blue line's really coming together, and I think a lot of fantasy value in this Detroit Red Wings team moving forward. And you have to think maybe Stevie Y and company are going to be buyers come deadline time as well.
I love it. It's been a long time coming. And did you guys know that John Gibson is 16-2-0 in the last 18 starts? Like, he is lights out for this team. And again, this is a guy I've ragged on his entire career. He can't stay healthy, can't stay in the crease, but he's been a revelation for Detroit, and I'm right there with you. Speaking of the Atlantic, curious about this question. You know that guy Victor Hedman? He's going to play for Team Sweden, the expectation. He's been out for a couple months, so means I'll throw this to you. Listener asks about Darren Radish. I mean, do you sell high knowing that Hedman's coming back here?
I think you could. As a Radish owner, I'm just riding this out. You know, it's been unbelievable, right? I mean, one of the better waiver wire pickups. I think you could say the same thing. You mentioned John Gibson's numbers. He's been easily the best fantasy goalie over that span, and you probably picked him up off the waiver wire. I would like to see Detroit, just to go back to them for a second. Jake, you brought it up about being aggressive at the deadline. I think we all talked about it with producer Bobby. Like, go get Panarin, right? I love that JVR and Kopp are doing things inside their top six, but go get somebody like a legitimate player that you can have in your lineup like Panarin. But as for Radish, I mean, just ride this thing out, guys. A couple years ago, Sergachev had a breakout campaign with Tampa, and Cooper had him on the first power play essentially all year. He took Hedman off that first unit. He just wanted to keep him fresh. The minutes came down. It was for the playoffs. He hasn't played a lot of hockey this year. If he is going to play in the Olympics, there's a real possibility, Jake, that Radish just keeps that first PP unit because he's just been so good.
I do like the idea of Panarin and Kane back together, but with the Detroit Red Wings and in the playoffs, snapping it around, that power play could be lethal. It already is really good right now. And Nick, on Tampa with Darren Radish, I have to think, and look, Cooper likes to do things his own way, you know, doesn't really give Brandon Hagel looks on the first power play unit, lets the guy just score even strike. But whatever Cooper does works. So I'm certainly not criticizing him, but I think if Hedman comes back, to me, if I'm John Cooper, and he's not going to listen to me, I'm keeping Radish on the first unit. I mean, the guy has been unbelievable, and we're seeing the fantasy production. So I'd like to think that that's the route they're going to go. Let Hedman worry about even strength. Let him take the second unit as well. So I'm keeping Radish. I'm riding this out. Like you guys said, probably one of the best waiver pickups of the year. And unless I'm getting something really big back, I don't think I'm trading him off my roster.
I like that approach because I think the one thing to add to is Tampa wins every game, so they've created some separation in the standings too. So it's not like they have to bring Hedman back, rush him back, and put him on PP1 and look for offense here and there. I think you try to rest him for the Stanley Cup playoffs, so I like that approach quite a bit. Now, admittedly, this is a question coming from me, and I talked to you guys off air. UC Saros, guys, I put in a claim. I got this guy on my keeper league. Having said that, Jake, his numbers aren't great. How do you view UC Saros in fantasy hockey as opposed to even a start the season here?
Well, Nashville is playing a little bit better. They just couldn't play worse than they were early in the season. I know his last start was really rough. So if we're going off recency bias, it's not good. I still like the goaltender. I think this year, the rest of this year might be a little bit tricky for him. And it's matchup dependent, right? I'm not rolling Saros out there against anybody in the league, but I don't mind rolling him out there against some of the middle of the pack teams to lower pack teams in the league. So I still think he's got some use. And Nick mentioned in a keeper league, I think long term, I don't know what the plan there is in Nashville, and it might change now because they feel like they're in a playoff conversation. But how much is Barry Trotz and company pushing for a playoff spot when your likely playoff spot is the second wild card in the West, which we know is what, four extra games, maybe five extra games this year?
Yeah, who knows what Barry Trotz is going to do, right? You feel like he should sell pieces, and then he buys pieces. And, you know, as for you picking up Saros, I think it's a good pickup. I mean, I think that they view him as their future, their number one goalie. They shipped Askarov off a couple years ago, right? Who was a nice piece. They could have easily traded Saros. And you know what? Over the past 6-7 weeks, they've been a competitive hockey team. They're roughly top 12 in the NHL in points over that span. So at least Nick, he's starting every game. And I think, you know, everyone has had issues in net. You know, if you have a goalie that's going to play 80% of the games the rest of the way and you're in the league with saves, it's not bad.
Now, every fantasy owner guy is looking for saves, and I would say now is the time to jump back in on Lucas Dostal. Always get questions about to pick up in between the pipes. I jumped out on this guy a couple weeks back, but suddenly, Jake, the Ducks have won 5 in a row. Dostal's won 4 in a row himself. Just looking at the statistics, 4 in a row for Dostal. Maybe even more, actually, 5 in a row. But I think you look at the numbers in general with Dostal. I think it's the goals against I look at. I'm starting to buy what the Ducks are selling again.
Are we buying into Jeffrey VL as well in Anaheim goals in 2 straight? I don't know if I would condone a pickup on him, maybe in the deepest of deep leagues, but fourth liner, all of a sudden he's become a scorer for Anaheim. And Meany, they're doing it in a different way right now, right? They're missing so many bodies. Anaheim early in the year with the success, they were pushing the pace offensively, scoring a lot of goals. Defense wasn't really there. Defense still isn't necessarily there. They're kind of just relying on Dostal at the moment and timely scoring, but wins are wins, and it's gotten them back into that playoff conversation where they'd kind of fallen out of it. And then we know there's an opportunity there in the Pacific. I still believe in Anaheim. They need to get some bodies back for me to be a true believer, but it is nice for Dostal owners right now to have him playing like he's playing and doing what he did against a team like Colorado the other night.
I was nervous to start him yesterday in a league with saves. It's like, man, he's up against the Habs, and man, he was awesome. He was fantastic in that game. It easily could have been, Colorado 5 or 6 goals. So if you're playing in that format, I think it's fine because Anaheim's still going to give up a lot of rubber. He's going to ruin your ratios from time to time, but most nights he's going to get about 30 saves. So he's somebody to take a look at in the prop market too. I believe his save prop last night was 26.5. He cruised past that one. A lot of questions here about goalies, which goalies to pick up down the stretch. It's tough out there. If you don't have a goalie at this point of the season, you may just have to be aggressive and make some sort of trade. You may feel like you're losing that trade, but if you can get a goalie back, in return, that has top 10 value, check out the rankings. But Kyrie Schmid is a guy that's playing good for Vegas. No, Aiden Hill is back, but I don't expect them to ride Aiden Hill. Like, they want to keep him healthy as well, so maybe they go back and forth. Sam Montembeau and Alex Lyon is back too. And, yep. We've talked about the Buffalo Sabres, I think, every single show this year. Like, offensively, they're a top 10 team. I went back to look at their offense since the Four Nations faceoff February 22nd. They're 6th in the NHL in goals per game. This team can score. So the offense is there for him. He's getting the run support, and he can fall into a few wins the rest of the way.
I like Lyon a lot. I know Kemper owners right now are a little disappointed. That every other week, this guy's got a head injury, man. It's really, really unfortunate. We'll see what this means for his entry into Team Canada coming up a couple weeks from now in Italy. But Anton Forsberg, I wonder about this debate. Like, would you rather a James Reimer or an Anton Forsberg right now in fantasy hockey, or neither, Jake? Oh. That's the question.
You can say neither, Jake.
Probably. I'm going to say neither. I'm going to say if I'm having that debate, I'm probably not in a good position in fantasy hockey. If I'm deciding between Forsberg or Reimer, maybe just pack it in for the season. But no, I would probably have to take Forsberg there. I mean, James Reimer just sprouts out of the ground all the time. I actually think he could be an okay backup to Linus Ullmark whenever Ullmark does decide to come back and figures everything out. If Ullmark comes back, I'd be okay with Reimer as a backup, but from a fantasy perspective, that's a no-go for me. The Rangers are an interesting team for me here, guys, moving forward.
They're
hot. We know Panarin's probably on the go, and of course he's a guy you're going to want. Whatever his destination is, Panarin's an elite offensive player, but is there anybody else on the Rangers we're kind of looking at? Because they put out that statement, sure, Panarin's the one we're all most excited for, Meany, but there's got to be a couple of other names they could possibly move here where the fantasy value could go up. Do they actually move a guy like JT Miller, who actually had a pretty good night the other night, or some of these other pieces? Might not just be Panarin in New York. There could be some other players to keep a sneaky eye on here.
Will Cooley, I mean, if you're rebuilding, you probably want to keep a guy like Will Cooley. I mean, he's not a complete power forward, but he's close, man. As a 23-year-old, he throws his body around. He can score. I wonder if he's a guy that they move on from. I don't think that they trade JT Miller. I don't think they trade Mika Zibanejad. I'd say it's Panarin and maybe just like one or two smaller pieces. But Trocheck. There's a question in here about Trocheck is a guy that, I mean, if Carolina went and got Trocheck, I'd believe in the Hurricanes, right? I know he's played there before, but I look at the makeup of their team and they're missing a second-line center. They've been missing a second-line center for quite some time. if they were able to get a Trocheck, that would be a great get. But there's some questions in here what to do with JT Miller. Guys, if you want to move JT Miller, now's the time. He's got at least 2 points in four straight games. Since he's been back in the lineup, he's had a point in 6 of 7. I would hold him. He's a guy that touches a lot of categories. I heard you guys in the last podcast. Now that the letter is out and they're rebuilding, don't be surprised if this team gets hot. And as long as Miller and Panarin for the next few weeks and Mika Zibanejad are in the lineup, they're going to score goals.
Yeah, definitely. They're not going to win games. I mean, Jonathan Quick's having a very, very turbulent season. We have no idea when Igor Shesterkin is coming back, but I actually bought low on JT Miller in one of my leagues a couple weeks back, and he's been money in the bank. And that's my expectation, the role of spoiler. Never overlook that from a fantasy perspective, just because the team stinks and probably not making the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think you can extract a lot of value. And to your point about Trocheck, I think he is going to go, whether it's Carolina. Minnesota, I think, is very, very interested from what I'm hearing in Vinny Trocheck, and I think he make a lot of sense on a line with like Kaprizov or Boldy. Oh, yeah. I think now is a really good opportunity to set your team up for success, and maybe, Jake, look at some guys who potentially could be on the move that are going to get an uptick in value if they do.
I love this angle because, you know, not everybody's looking at it, and you get a player who's maybe underperforming on a team that's not doing all that great, and you go, you make the trade offer, and you know they're going to get a boost somewhere, wherever that might be. You list off a couple of options for a Trocheck. I wonder if Montreal is still going to be in the center market as well. Meany, look, things are going so well for them. I'm almost at the point where it's like, do you just let this thing keep going and just say we feel like we're ahead of schedule, we're playing with house money, or do you actually push some chips in the middle? Do you go for a Nazem Kadri? Do you go for a Vincent Trocheck and solidify that middle of the ice? I've kind of gone from Montreal being a playoff team to, hey, this team could actually make some legitimate noise in the postseason if they do want to push some chips in the middle. So a lot of fascinating options in the center market. I would include them in some of the names you guys mentioned as well.
Yeah, I go back to the Four Nations faceoff. I mean, they're third in the NHL in points. Only Tampa and Colorado have more. So it's a large sample size. I don't think that they're going to be in the market for a center. They clearly need one, but they brought in Deneau, they have Evans, they have Kapanen, and they have Suzuki. So I just don't think that there's anyone there. And you're not going to trade some of these future pieces like a Michael Hage for a Nazem Kadri. You're just going to stay the course. I think they could use some help on the blue line. They're giving up a lot of high danger opportunities. But yeah, there's one question here about Rasmus Anderson I just wanted to get to, because I know you guys hit on it. I thought you guys touched on it perfectly on Monday, but there was a question about what to do with this guy. He was ranked as a top 15 defenseman for us, and now he's roughly is a top 30 guy. It's funny, Vegas runs their team the way that I run my franchise mode. Forget those draft picks, right? Just like, come on. Calgary could be picking for them in the first round for the next 3 years if Vegas wins the cup, and I think they're set up. I love the ad. Only Edmonton really is a team that can play with them in the Pacific, but the reason he's dropped down to 30th, guys, he's still a hold. He goes to a better team. He can fall into some points, but he's going to lose that first power play. Vegas is a top five power play. They rock five forwards there, so fewer blocks on a better team, less chasing, maybe fewer hits, but Mackenzie Weegar is a guy that I would hold on to. I think he's going to trend up here. And Alberg, I thought you were spot on with Zane Parekh. They're going to give him a look, I think, in the second half, and he's a good stash, especially in a keeper league.
Yeah, watching the game against Pittsburgh as well on Wednesday, Zach Whitecloud in his first game or second game with Calgary picks up points, so maybe monitor him moving forward. But I think your analysis is right on Anderson. I just want to see him play a game for Vegas, and I think it could happen as early as Friday, I believe, maybe Thursday here against the Boston Bruins. But he's back on a pairing with Hanifin. But I do concur. Like, I think Shea Theodore is that guy that's going to run the first power play unit here, Jake.
Well, yeah, and I think Anderson, it's not like I'm totally jumping off the file, but I struggle to think where the consistent production is going to be. I think he could still produce at even strength and, maybe even get a look on the second unit, but you got Hanifin there as well. It becomes a messy situation. Great for Vegas. I mean, a great problem for Vegas. This is why they did it. Very deep now on the back end. I think it's the Calgary situation I'm most fascinated about, Meany, right? With Weegar there and, we mentioned Whitecloud coming in. I think we almost forgot about that side of the deal and what he could do. So I think the Calgary situation is probably the more intriguing one for me in fantasy going forward, because I think we know in Vegas it's going to be Shea Theodore.
Yeah, the Whitecloud call is a good one, as I play in bangers leagues, and he's one of those guys. Kevin Ball as well is in bangers leagues. Imagine Vegas running five forwards on their first power play and maybe just three defensemen on the second power play unit there. It'd be awesome.
It would be interesting, and we're going to talk about Vegas quite a bit coming up on the other side, because you got a revenge game to talk about on Friday night, guys. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365.
ESPN presents the NHL Stadium Series in a most unexpected place. A hockey takeover of Tampa, Florida and Raymond James Stadium. where the Boston Bruins collide with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Nikita Kucherov!
Two teams take their shot at a one-of-a-kind game. The 2026 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. Bruins, Lightning, Sunday, February 1st at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Adnan and Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two. The only place I'd like to see Sid go is Colorado. That's really it.
Is there a chance the NHL returns to Arizona someday where you played?
Baby, come back. You could do it all on me.
Yes, we're coming back. Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner with Bet365. You can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. I want to start with the revenge aspect, but it's not going to be Friday. Vladimir Tarasenko, will he get a video tribute in Detroit? This guy's been on fire, guys. 5 goals in the last 3 games. Means last, but he's been incredible. Turning back the clock. Give me a Tarasenko anytime goal on the road in Detroit. He's on the back-to-back here, Jake.
No, listen, I love it. It's just like the video tribute just, you know, made me chuckle a little bit. Yeah, I mean, hey, it's possible. I've seen some video tributes for dudes that I just didn't think would get one. I'll throw Ryan Hartman in there as well. I mean, he's got seven points and 2 power play points in his last 8 games. He's shooting the puck, and his ice time has jumped up 20-plus minutes in 3 straight, right? So to Nick's point, some of these guys are getting a boost in ice time because some of the injuries inside the top six. It's a good look.
Nick, you totally tricked me. You said, or tricked all of us. You said revenge. We thought for sure he's going to the Marner game on Friday, and then you throw us the Tarasenko curveball. I love that. Actually, a lot of great games on Thursday that I'm really interested in. Buffalo, Montreal. Can't believe I'm saying that, but that's one of the more intriguing matchups in the Atlantic. All of a sudden, I'm leaning Montreal. Little bit chalky, and it's tough to go against the Sabres these days, but I like the Habs at the Bell Center. And I also love the Edmonton Oilers in this spot tonight, Nick, with McDavid versus Crosby. We all get excited about that. McDavid has owned this matchup over the years. You get Pittsburgh on the second half of a back-to-back in this one. I think Oilers on the puck line, McDavid 2 points, maybe 4 shots. I think it's one of those games for the Oilers, especially coming off a loss the other night. Not a great game against the New Jersey Devils. I think they bounce back.
Yeah, the one thing I've realized too, NHL teams do not care about revenge. I don't know who's going in this game, but I think it could be Ingram in the schedule for Edmonton, and that just drives me nuts. Tristan Jarry played last game. I don't think maybe he goes in this game, and then Stuart Skinner played last night against Calgary Flames. So I'm going to play McDavid over 1.5 in that game. Might play the Crosby anytime goal. I like the over Montreal and Buffalo. I expect a lot of offense in that game. And Jack Eichel, anytime goal. Vegas in Boston. Bruce Cassidy revenge. I'm going to play the Vegas three-way, the front end of the back-to-back for them too.
Yeah, I love the Vegas call. And I like Dorofeev as well. He's probably got the best value in terms of a guy that's playing inside their top six and on the first power plays. -130 for a point. We have him in the NHL picks here today. And, you know, he's been shooting the puck. And, he's -125, I think, for 3 shots as well. He's got 6 points, 4 power play points in his last 5. And you can go back to his past 24 games. He has 12 power play points and 20 points over that span. So I really like him. And I think we're all on the over between the Habs and the Sabres, right? I joined you last week, Jake, on Sirius. We talked about that. It was over 6.5. I think there was 8 goals scored in that game. So people are always looking for a fun same game parlay. You can do them over at Bet365. You can take Suzuki, Caulfield, Tage, Thompson, and Doan. That's +360. If you wanted to add Hudson and Dahlin in there, 8-1. You want to add Slavkovsky, Tuck, and Demidov, you're looking at 12-1. You can have some fun with it, just like pizza money.
Very interested to see if Florida can get it going in Winnipeg. Winnipeg's trying to save their season. Heck, Florida isn't maybe quite as desperate as Winnipeg, but they want to get something going here. I don't know if I'm ready to back the Panthers as a road favorite, though, at this point. I think that's just going to be a wait and see. I do like Dallas in Columbus. I just think Dallas, they went through a a bit of a rough stretch. They showed me a lot in that game against Boston earlier this week. I think they roll over a better team. And I do like the spot for the Minnesota Wild on Thursday night as well, Nick, against Detroit. Detroit, I felt like they put a lot of energy into that Toronto game, division rival. They were full marks for it. They wanted an OT. Then you got to go to Minnesota on the second half of back-to-back. I get they're banged up, but I think this is a good spot game for the Minnesota Wild on Thursday.
Gents, what are we thinking for the Marner game on Friday? I was, of course, at the one in Vegas last week, and of course, we're hearing the news too. The Maple Leafs severely banged up. Brandon Carlo tweaking something now. Olive Rekman-Larsson leaves that game a minute 50 in against Detroit on Wednesday. But for some reason, I'm still going to play the Maple Leafs money line in that game. I think they return the favor. I don't know if it's going to be the John Tavares effect on Long Island, but I think it's going to be pretty loud in that building. So I'm going to play a Matthews anytime goal, and I think Marner is going to get a point. I don't know if it's going to be an assist or a goal, but I'll probably play the goal here, Means.
Yeah, there's certainly some value in the goal. He's pretty juiced up to get a point, but maybe you can put him in a same-game parlay. I thought Matthews was great in that game when they played last week. Yeah. I think Matthews has been great over the past. All of a sudden, this guy's like top five, roughly in goals. So he's scoring and he's shooting. I think he could just maybe two-point night, right? Jake, why not? Yeah. We get a little greedy here, plus money, get the two-point night, right, on the power play. When this team gets on the power play, they seem to score with all of those forwards, and Marner's always touching the puck.
Just a general point as well. I mean, he brings it up with the 2 points. It's an angle I've been playing a lot. Now, it's more obvious with guys like Kucherov, McDavid. You're almost going to have to eat a little bit of juice for those kind of guys. But even on Wednesday night, playing a guy like Clayton Keller for 2 points in a matchup you really like, and you get big plus money, sometimes 2-1 odds on some of these really good players to get 2 points in a game. So an angle to look for moving forward. And Nick, on this big revenge game, I do lean Leafs. I think it's just going to be a better spot for them. Vegas does play on Thursday, so it'll be second half of a back-to-back. I'm just playing the Matthews shot prop, whatever it is. I don't know if they're going to go in, but I think he's going to be firing. I think this is going to be a game where you really see the best of Austin Matthews. And with all these injuries, he's probably going to be playing a lot in this hockey game. So I've been able to get 4 shots on Matthews for almost even money lately. If it's around that, even if I got to eat a little bit of juice on it, I think Matthews is going to be firing on Friday night.
Like it, and Jake, got to credit you on Monday. You were all over Minnesota, the dreaded first game back for the Maple Leafs, and they pounded them. By the way, Petey Props writes in, he's going to the game on Saturday on Long Island. The Islanders hosting the Buffalo Sabres. He's all over Tony Duclair right now. Anthony Duclair, 6 goals in the last 4 games, so he's going to play all the props ever for Anthony Duclair. Speaking of Pete, he'll be back in the mix on Monday for the Week 17 waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Conn and Pete Jensen. And, of course, Shay Conn. I'm Nick Alberg. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.